There's no person that can do that for us. I guess I shouldn't say that either. There is the person of the Holy Spirit who will take our prayers to the Father. This week, we've been talking about praise, the angels praising God. And so we'll light the second candle of Advent. Giving gifts at Christmas has always been associated, giving gifts has always been associated with Christmas for obvious reasons. And as Stephen read, the angels brought their gift of worship, their gift of praise, that the shepherds came and one day they believed what the angels said and they took their time to come from the fields to come and see the newborn Savior. And we know that Mary gave of her time, obviously, at least 9 months of it, gave her womb to be used of God. She, when the angel came to told her what was going to happen, she was willingly, I use the word complicit, but that sounds kind of funny, but she was willingly a partaker in what God was going to do through her body in bringing that baby to this world. And I think of John 1:14, that he came in the flesh. And then in 1 John 1, we looked at last week where John says, yes, he was here. We saw him. We encountered him. He was real. It wasn't just a story. It wasn't just some prophecy that never came to be. We saw him. We touched him. He performed miracles. We saw him do it. It was real. And the theologians, the smart guys, they say that the way that 1 John is written there is that it's more like a court deposition than just a letter. It's a court deposition to convince the people that he was in fact real. The angels brought the gift of worship and praise to baby Jesus. Friday night, if you were here for our Christmas party, we had a good time. We had about 45 people here. Had some fun games. Oh, they're already back in there. I was supposed to say this for them. Was it Luke or Noah that won? Noah won our nativity bingo one time. We had four winners, but we just had a lot of good time enjoying one another's fellowship, and of course enjoying the food too. But one of the things we did is Friday night we looked back to Thanksgiving briefly. When we talked about the words Thanksgiving, thankful, and thanks. Are in the scriptures 161 times, and almost half of those times when thanksgiving or thankfulness is mentioned, it's mentioned right along with praise. And guess what? Praise and worship, they're the same thing. They just blend together. And so today we're going to look at some of that praise and the worship to God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough." Excuse me. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And it came about when the angels had gone away from them that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Speaking about babies, you guys always make me nervous. We weren't sure if you were going to, you know, maybe in the hospital or one of these days, right? Well, that's exciting. Looking forward to that. Right, Asher? Are you looking forward to that too? Maybe having a buddy? Yeah, oh yeah. All right. Very special announcement by the angels. Those that knew Jesus, and the angels did, they worshiped him, they knew him, and they came together as a host. And I love that. I love to point out there, it says, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. And I always like to point out that, let's see, where is it now? In verse 9, that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And that was just the one angel giving the message. And it says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So when a whole host of angels came, was there more glory shown? No. Because it was all already there. It was already being shown. So just because more angels showed up didn't mean there was more glory of God there, because that was already being shown. You got it all. It's all or nothing. And it was all there with the one messenger. But the angels appeared suddenly. There appeared a multitude. Worship. The word worship, to define it, is to ascribe worth to someone or something. When you pray, you're taking time, you're worshiping. When you read God's word, you're worshiping. When you listen to Christian music, music that honors and glorifies God, you're worshiping. When you learn to be quiet and still and know that He is God, you are worshiping, because you are ascribing worth to that, because it's worth some of your time. Now, there are many things that we can attach worth to. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. Hang on to that thought. Before we get there, turn to John chapter 4. Worship is to ascribe worth or to someone or something in our lives. John chapter 4. Here we have the story of the Samaritan woman. And she's at the well, and she's looking for water. In verse 7, Jesus asked her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone into the city. And she says, "Well, wait a minute, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You shouldn't even be talking to me. Plus, I'm a woman. You shouldn't even be talking to me." In verse 10, Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." It goes on, verse 16, Jesus tells her to go and call her husband, and she says she has no husband. And Jesus said, "You have said well, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." He said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain where the Samaritans would worship, nor in Jerusalem where the Jews would worship, but neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Key here, and Stephen mentioned this when he was reading, For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. He wants us to worship him. You know, we talked earlier in Genesis that God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to have anything, any other idols that receive worship from that should be his. He doesn't want us to worship anything or anyone. He's a jealous God. He wants our worship and our praise for himself alone. And that's where it should be. And so he is going to seek out those that are true worshipers and that worship those that worship this Father in spirit and in truth. He wants those to give glory, to give praise, to sing and worship to his name, to humble themselves before him, not before idols, not before other things, not before other people, but that our sole focus of our worship would be his name, his glory. We've often said, what is something that Satan hates? Oh, there's two things. He hates to see a Christian praying. But he always hates when the name of Jesus is exalted because he knows that Jesus is the one that crushed his head. So you know what your job is and my job is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, is to praise his name and to lift him high. Satan hates it. That means we ought to do it more. He wants us that are true worshipers, that will worship the Father in spirit and truth. He seeks after those. He wants those. Also just makes me think of the verse in Isaiah 66, I think it's verse 2, where he says, he seeks those that tremble at his name and at his word. Worship him, only him. We all worship something. That thought makes me think of Philippians 2 in verse 10 where it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Even those that don't believe, they will bow before him at their judgment. And their tongue will confess, yes, he is the Lord. He is the Almighty King. He is the one that sits on the throne. And in this way, the same idea, the same thought is every one of us worships something. When I was a kid, I'll be honest with you, I worshiped baseball cards because I assessed value to them. I gave them great value. My mom drove school bus, and every day at the end of the day, I'd sweep the bus and I'd get a quarter. Man, I could not wait till Friday. I'd had $1.25 in my pocket. Whew! That was big bucks. I could buy about 7 packs of baseball cards. Now you can't even get one for $5, I don't think. But back then, I could get 7 packs of baseball cards, and of course, it had the bubble gum in it too. But we collected those baseball cards. We traded baseball books for baseball cards. We traded baseball gloves for baseball cards. We gave worth and value to baseball cards, me and my buddies. What is it in your life that you assess worth to? Because that is what you worship. Now, do you depend on your career, your marriage, retirement, education, the body? Guess what? The body fails, doesn't it, folks? It's going to disappoint you because this body ain't going to last forever. There are imposter gods, sex, food, money, alcohol, success and influence. When used correctly, these can be very beautiful things in our lives. They can be beautiful things that God has given us to bring glory to him if we don't make them our sole focus, if they are not what we worship. Yes, we can place value on them, but when you place that value ahead of God's, the value that we give to God, it becomes idolatry. We got to be careful of that. We must be careful. We must be cautious. You got to be aware of what's going on in your life. What am I focusing on? Is it something that brings honor and glory to God? Or is it something that gives me pleasure and self-satisfaction? Is it something that's all about me? It makes me feel good about me. It ought not to be. It ought not to be mentioned among us. Our worth and our value and our worship and praise should be on God. These things are necessary and useful when used correctly. But we must be careful. These things will let you down. If you put your hope in them, they will let you down, folks. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. Put your hope in God alone. Something powerful happens when we worship. Something powerful happened the day that the soldiers did. They did worship. It was Christmas Eve in 1915 near the village of Laventie in northern France. World War I was raging. Bombs shook the soil of Europe. Frigid temperatures shook the bones of the fighters. Germans were entrenched on one side and the Royal Welsh Fusiliers on the other. Most of the soldiers were only a few years removed from boyhood. They were young, homesick, and longing to be with loved ones. The guns had blazed in relentless fury for months. Christmas seemed far away from this blood-soaked land. At one point from the German side of the field came a chorus of voices singing a Welsh holiday hymn in German. Sleep, my child, and peace attend thee all through the night. Guardian angels God will send thee all through the night. Soft the drowsy hours are creeping, hill and vale and some slumber sleeping. I my loving vigil keeping all through the night. Soldiers on both sides set down their weapons. For a moment, in that moment, there was no war. There was no enemies. There was just the song. What happened next could be described as a miracle. The night was spent in carol singing. Around dawn, the feelings of goodwill emboldened the soldiers to step out of their trenches and greet their foes, shouting such greetings as, "Hello, Tommy. Hello, Fritz." They shook hands in no man's land and exchanged gifts. German beer, sausages, and spiked helmets from one side. Canned corned beef, biscuits, and tunic buttons from the other. Then of all things, a game broke out, a form of soccer. It was disjointed and unorganized with perhaps as many as 50 players on each side. For half an hour or so, the battlefield became a soccer field, and enemies enjoyed time together. And it all began with worship. Worship. Worship must be God-centered. Worship should be out loud. Turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:15. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Psalm 47:1, shout to God with joyful praise. Psalm 66:1, make a joyful shout to God, all you earth. Again, Satan hates it when we exalt the name of Jesus. So let's exalt the name of Jesus again and again and again. Our worship should be out loud. It should be in community. We saw in Luke 2:13 that a host of heavenly angels joined the one to sing praises of the newborn king. Worship should be done demonstratively. Psalm 141. Okay, I'm reading this from Scripture, folks. Psalm 141, verse 2. May my prayers be counted as incense before thee, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise thee, so I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now we know that people can get stupid about it. You know, there's churches where people run up and down the pews. And that's, I'm sorry, that's nonsense. That's not orderly of what God is. God is a God of order. But many, many, many times in the scriptures, and we think back to Nehemiah, that they raised their hands and praised the Lord. There's nothing wrong with raising your hands and praising the Lord. We need to do it more. And this is hurting me to do this because I'm a conservative boy that didn't grow up doing this. But the Scripture tells us to do it, so why don't we do it? Raise your hands and praise God. Praise His name. It's not about waving all over and hitting somebody or whatever. Or, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. It's to raise our hands to worship Him, to worship our Savior, to worship our Lord. And the Scripture tells us to do it. In closing, turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And we're not going to get into, because we'd be here all day. We're not going to get into the eschatology stuff here and what these creatures are and what they all mean in that, but just listen to the praise. Revelation 4, 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within and day and night. Day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Verse 11, worthy art thou, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they exist, and they were created. Chapter 5, verse 8. And when he has taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp. Maybe that's where they get the idea that all angels play harps or something. I don't know. Or that we'll play harps when we get there. We may. I don't know. Anyhow, fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Don't think your prayers aren't important, people. They sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and did purchase for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and praise to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. You might as well start practicing now, because that's what we're going to do. Remember that timeline, eternity in both directions. When we get to heaven, that's what we're going to do for eternity. We are going to sing His praises. We are going to say, holy, holy, holy. And He alone is worthy to accept that praise and honor. So folks, be about praising Jesus. Be about praising God. Because we're told to. And besides, I don't know about you, but my heart's happier when I'm praising Jesus and when I'm singing to Him. Worship Him, praise Him, give Him worth more than things on the earth. Give that worth and that praise to Him. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for His promises. Father, thank You for teaching us how to love You. Thank You for the example that You set for us. And we know, Father, that You alone are worthy of praise. Help us to save it, reserve it, keep it for You and You alone. Thank You, Father. Amen. Stand with me if you would.